The news is like the first draft of history. You don't know the whole truth right away, but because you support WSHU with your donations, we'll be back tomorrow and next week and beyond, bringing you the facts on all the important stories. I'm reporter Molly Ingram. Thank you for making WSHU your source for trusted news. Your contributions keep public radio strong. We're expanding our world together.
This is WSHU's After All Things with daily news and culture from around Long Island Sound. Connecticut lawmakers consider whether to restrict kids' access to social media. A bill in New York would erase the timeline for sex abuse survivors to sue their abusers. Plus, New York's Black, Puerto Rican, Hispanic, and Asian caucus convenes to chart its course for the next session. Those stories and more are coming up. I'm Sabrina Garone. Lawmakers in Connecticut are considering whether to restrict kids' access to social media. WSHU's Janice Roman reports they heard testimony from the public this week.
A new bill would make social media companies identify underage users and have them get parents' permission before they can access the platform. Platforms would have to display a warning label from the Surgeon General each time a young user logs in. Supporters and opponents of the bill both spoke at a public hearing in Hartford Wednesday. Heidi Olson is a sexual assault nurse. Olson says she's talked to children who face bullying, sexual harassment, and mental health issues because of social media.
Unfortunately, without better regulation, many quote-unquote child-friendly apps are not child-friendly at all, and it's our responsibility as adults to ensure our kids are safe online.
If passed, tech companies would need to establish a reliable age verification system. They could use government ID, a user's behavior online, or facial recognition technology. That raises questions about data privacy. Committee member David Ritigliano says he supports the bill, but has questions.
I just didn't know properly how it would actually work. That even raises a concern now. Oh, the camera. Well, you have to get permission to use the camera. And then all of a sudden, you're sort of using the camera for a minor. Is that even legal? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
I just think that there's a pitfall.
Governor Ned Lamont and State Attorney General William Tong both support the bill. It's one of several technology-related bills to be reviewed this session. Janice Roman, WSHU News.
Senate Minority Leader Chuck Schumer of New York came to Long Island this week to announce a bill that would make it easier for sex crime survivors to sue their abusers in federal court. The bill would erase the 10-year time limit on civil litigation. Schumer says that means survivors can sue their abusers when they're ready to come forward.
Whenever they're ready, that's when justice should be served. Not with some artificial timeline.
Schumer says the current time limit means abusers can potentially wait out the clock and avoid liability. A 2024 Newsday analysis shows a 42% increase in domestic violence on Long Island. A new Connecticut law that limits price increases on generic prescription drugs could save consumers more than $10 million this year. That's according to an analysis by the State Office of Health Strategy, and WSHU's Ebong Udama has more.
The law is the first of its kind in the nation. It restricts wholesale distributors of generic drugs from increasing prices higher than the annual rate of inflation. Senator Matt Lesser of Middletown sponsored the law.
Now, Connecticut has the strongest pro-consumer drug affordability law in the country. It is going to make a real difference.
Nora Duncan is with AARP Connecticut.
Doesn't matter what kind of insurance you have, whether you're Medicaid, whether you're self-insured, whether you're Connecticut regulated, whether you're Medicare, it's going to help everyone.
Governor Ned Lamont says he'll discuss with other governors about enacting similar laws when he meets with them at the National Governors Association gathering in Washington.
In terms of pharmaceutical costs, I'll be able to give this as an example of something we're doing, and we'll see what other states want to follow us.
He says that might help Connecticut consumers.
Maybe a little state of Connecticut doesn't have as much purchasing power when it comes to buying pharma. If we teamed up with Massachusetts and the other New England states, we'd have a lot more purchasing power. Could bring down costs for the state.
More than 400 generic and off-patent prescription drugs are covered by the law. Ebong Udama, WSHU News.
In all- Albany, legislators of color are drawing attention to major priorities. That story is coming up.
Love WSHU? Take it with you. The WSHU app lets you stream your favorite programs, explore podcasts, and check playlists on the go. You can even tell us what you think. Feedback is built right into the app. Download the WSHU app free on the App Store or Google Play.
There is an ongoing investigation into an armed robbery and home invasion in Fairfield, according to police. Authorities say the incident occurred at 2:30 a.m. on Candlewood Road. All suspects are now in custody. Residents in the area were asked to shelter in place, but that order has since been lifted. McKinley Elementary School and Fairfield Ward High School were closed. The story is developing. Most of the immigrants ICE has detained in Nassau County don't have criminal records, according to Newsday. Last year, County Executive Bruce Blakeman announced the county would partner with ICE, but said they would focus on immigrants who have committed crimes. Blakeman continues to support the partnership, but Democrats are calling for a statewide ban on local governments cooperating with ICE. A winter storm is expected on the coastline of Connecticut this weekend into early next week. Weather services in New York say the storm will push towards the coast of Connecticut. There is likelihood for at least a half a foot of snow and potential for high winds. The New York Department of Environmental Conservation is warning that groups of dead birds could be risk vectors for avian flu. The DEC says they're monitoring multiple dead bird group sightings on Long Island, but there's no way to prevent the spread to other wild animals. They're telling people to avoid any contact with groups of dead birds or any mammals which could possibly be infected. The New Haven Police Department wants to overhaul how it works with confidential informants. WSHU's Jimmy Ruskell reports they're hiring an independent consulting firm to help.
Mayor Justin Elliker says the city is bringing in a national law enforcement think tank and consulting group to help them draw up a new city confidential informant policy. Confidential informants are people who secretly cooperate with law enforcement to provide information on criminal activity. Last year, former police chief Carl Jacobson admitted to stealing $10,000 from the confidential informant fund over the course of 6 years. Officials say no one was auditing the fund during that time. The state of Connecticut is now investigating. Jimmy Ruskell, WSHU News.
This year marks the 100th anniversary of what is now known as Black History Month. And in Albany, lawmakers of color are highlighting key priorities like education funding, affordable housing, and sentencing reform. The New York Public News Network's Samuel King reports.
The Legislative Conference of the New York State Association of Black, Puerto Rican, Hispanic, and Asian Legislators, otherwise known as Caucus Weekend, brings people from all over New York State to Albany for a packed weekend of networking events, parties, and policy discussions. Assembly Majority Leader Crystal People Stokes of Buffalo had a reminder for the crowd gathered at an opening night reception.
So it's more than about the party. It's more than about the party. It's about the policy for the people who we love and depend on us.
The roots of the caucus and the association date back 60 years to 1966. That's when Black and Puerto Rican lawmakers took what became known as the Midnight Walk to then-Speaker Anthony Travia's office to demand more power in the legislature. They later received key leadership and committee assignments, including on the powerful Ways and Means Committee. According to a history of the caucus, members held up the state budget in 1975 until they received more benefits for Black and Latino communities. More than 50 years later, both the Speaker of the Assembly and the Senate Majority Leader are Black. Speaker Carl Hastie says it's still important to remember the legacy of those past members.
Even though we have many more legislators of color and the two legislative leaders are, of course, of color, but it's really about the importance of how the government should be doing and providing services and looking out for the communities of color. So this weekend is always going to be important.
Assemblymember Mikael Solage of Long Island is chair of the Black, Puerto Rican, Hispanic, and Asian Caucus. She says the timing of caucus weekend is no coincidence, as it falls in the heart of state budget discussions.
Policy can't be done in a silo. It has to be done collaboratively. And so when we talk about the various issues, it's important that these, people take it back and tell their neighbors that we need your help to get these policies down to the finish line.
Black lawmakers used the weekend to highlight some key priorities, including a $2 billion increase in foundation aid for schools, legislation targeting foreclosure prevention and homeowner stabilization, and sentencing and parole reforms. And groups relished the chance to advocate for their priorities. Zakiya Shakir Ansari is co-executive director of the Alliance for Quality Education. She says it's important to ensure lawmakers allocate enough funding to make a difference in communities.
The money has to be enough to make the change. And that's across the board, from housing to health care to education. And if we fund it right, fund it equitably, it will impact the Black and brown community. And that's when it impacts them for the better, it will absolutely impact everybody else for the better, including the state.
Dr. Shawnell Hawkins is president and CEO of the Urban League of Rochester. She says workforce development continues to be a top issue.
This is really important that there are dollars that continue to support that, but also on housing. We want to make sure that there's a clear pathway to support affordable housing. That is certainly our work. And of course, access to continue to prioritize Black and brown New Yorkers. That is always going to be our work. We want to make sure everybody has a pathway for economic success, but we still want to make sure that remains the focus.
The legislature returns to Albany next week with some of those priorities on the agenda just more than a month before the state budget is due. In Albany, I'm Samuel King for the New York Public News Network.
For the news you trust and music you love, listen on the radio or online at WSHU.org or with the free WSHU app. We are cutting the WSHU winter fundraiser in half. We can raise part of our goal in half the time, but we need to raise all of it. And that's why we're counting on you to give right now. When you do, your gift will be doubled thanks to a dollar for dollar match. So visit WSHU.org for more on how to donate or give us a call at 800-777-9748. Thank you so much for your support today and every day. I'm Sabrina Garone. Have a great rest of your evening, and we'll talk tomorrow. Thank you.